2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dujanovic.
We have had two cases of sex crimes in Utah that we've been reporting about all morning long on Utah's Morning News that Dave and I really wanted to take a look at. In fact, the Attorney General's office is going to hop on the line with us in just a few minutes, Dave, and give us some ideas as parents of how to keep our kids safe.
Yeah, and this first one is a case of sextortion from a Salt Lake man. And he's accused of meeting a 13-year-old girl through a social media game. And Debbie, this is not the 13-year-old girl that turns out to be a cop, right? Because that's kind of what happens. The cops get online, they lure them in, and they catch them.
Let's get more details from KSL News Radio's Mary Richards, who's been reporting on this story all morning long.
Police say it started with a challenge on Instagram. The girl got a chain message that said she needed to send that message on to 20 more people, so she did, and one was 22-year-old Jordan Daniel Sorensen. Charging documents say he messaged her back. They started chatting a lot on Instagram and Snapchat, but pretty soon he began asking her for nude photos. He told her if she did not comply, he would tell all her friends. Sorensen was charged yesterday with two felonies, sextortion in this case.
Yeah, that's... I'm so glad those despicable human beings get caught. I love that they're doing the right thing. I love that that 13-year-old didn't get sucked into it, that absolutely realized that this was a bad situation and reported it.
And just when I thought I'd heard enough, no, there's more. There's a former teacher, teaching volunteer at Pleasant Grove in the Pleasant Grove area, is facing a slew of felony charges as well after investigators say he offered students cash for nude pictures. So after I heard both of these stories, I thought we've got to reach out to the Utah Attorney General's office. They have a task force. It's called the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, and they are very, very effective and active here in Utah when it comes to tracking down these creeps who try to lure our kids online. Michelle Bush Upwall is on the line with us live. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
So I got to tell you, this is just scary to me because I think sometimes what happens is these stories fall out of the headlines. I mean, we've had two in our headlines, you know, that we've had on air today, but sometimes they fall out of the headlines. And as parents, we don't realize these creeps are still out there.
Right. They are. They're everywhere.
You have no shortage of business there when it comes to tracking these people down, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely not. And it's just increasing, for sure.
It does seem to be a common thread right now that it starts with pictures, that they get those explicit pictures, and then they have leverage over the victim. Is that the trend that you're seeing, that it really starts off with the nude pictures?
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of times the nude picture just starts off, like in sexting cases, with teens. But those pictures get out of hand. They get passed around, and they can go anywhere. So, yeah, it does. It happens a lot. Sexting cases and sextortion cases are huge.
And, Michelle, from what I understand, I mean, once the crook or the creep gets one photo, they'll just keep extorting or sextorting a child for more and more pictures.
Yeah, they threaten them that they're going to expose them, that they're going to pass it around, things like that. And so, of course, you know, kids get scared of that.
And we've also seen cases where they just threaten and they say, hey, I will Photoshop your head on a body. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to get the same result.
Right. Absolutely.
Michelle Bush Upwall is with the Utah Attorney General's office. She's on the line with us right now because Dave and I caught two stories on Utah's Morning News that really scared us as parents about kids being sextorted for photos here in Utah. This still goes on, and she's just telling us that this is happening more and more. So, Michelle, give us some advice. What should parents be doing starting this afternoon to protect our kids?
Well, first of all, the most important thing we can do is have conversations with our kids about the dangers. Understanding and knowing who our kids' friends are on all of these accounts, letting them know about privacy settings, letting them know about accepting people we don't know. We absolutely cannot accept people we don't know on our friends list or any kind of social media because that puts our kids at risk. So understanding how all these apps work, understanding who our kids' online friends are, and having very important, serious conversations with them about what can happen. And also letting them know if somebody is trying to sextort them or extort them, they need to report that to a trusted adult immediately so that we can bring law enforcement into it.
Michelle, one of the techniques that I always used is I said, I just want to look at your settings so I can see what apps you've downloaded. And now I know there's, you know, ways to flag that as parents or use parental controls on all of the devices. And so those can be really handy, too, to keep us on our toes as parents.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's all kinds of different tools out there that parents can use, whether it's with your, you know, your phone carriers or software or whatever it may be. There's all kinds of tools, and parents need to explore that so that they can understand how the phones work, what's available on the phones, and what's available for them as parents so they can help monitor. And a lot of times people will say, well, I feel like I'm invading their privacy. It's not invading their privacy. It's taking care of them and keeping them safe from predators.
Michelle, thank you for joining us with the Utah Attorney General's office. And Debbie, I think that's something that parents have to get over a little bit. Oh, my kids are going to be so mad at me if I ask them for their phone. If you ask them for their phone and they're hesitant or they're belligerent or they fight back with you, then you really want to see what's on that phone. Trust me. If they don't want to give it up, that's the one you want. If they just hand it over, be like, I don't know, I'll call your bluff. I'll grab it and look at it. But familiarizing yourself with some of these apps, how Snapchat works, how Instagram works, how direct messages work, make sure you have your kids walk you through them. Teach them and have them teach you exactly how these things work because it is a little tricky. You can have multiple accounts. There could be a hidden Instagram account. Many, many kids do. So educate yourself a little bit and have your kids walk you through some of this stuff.
The piece of advice that I really like that she gave us as parents is make sure your kids know that it's safe to come to you, that you're not going to, you know, blow a lid if they feel like, you know, they maybe have done something wrong. I've always loved that open door policy. I've always tried to maintain it with my own kids, Dave, so they feel safe to come to me and say, hey, there's a creep out there, and I'm scared.
It's so hard, though, when it's embarrassing. And that is why these sextortion cases have been so successful, because it's supremely embarrassing. Thank you so much for joining us today. Great show. Very interesting. We'll turn things over to Maria Chaleos.
Live breaking news now on the mobile app for KSL News Radio. Listen at home or anywhere you go. Brought to you by Any Hour Services, KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City, KSL News Radio. This is Utah's news station.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, There are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.